There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
We are delighted and honoured on a Saturday at Talking of Books to be joined by the one and only Brandy Scott, who in her other life is about to be a debut published novelist. And I have been more than honoured to have got, Brandy gave me the one and only copy that was here, proof copy, way ahead of publication. And I read it, and all I can say is, first of all, it doesn't read like a debut novel. It is so polished and accomplished. And the other thing was, I couldn't put it down. Now, for me, one of the best tests of a book is not flowery language, etc. I take that as a given. Not wonderful characters, which certainly populate Brandy's book. It is the fact that I have to put my life on hold until I finished it. And this is what I had to do with Brandy's book. You know, work got neglected. I needed to know what happened next, so it keeps you page turning. So Mabruk, Brandy, congratulations on, in my view, for whatever it's worth, an amazing novel.
Oh, that is exceptionally kind. Thank you very much.
It's all true. As the team know, I don't, you know, I love books and I hate books. And very rarely do books leave me without any
opinion.
No, that I was thinking of the word. That's true. And they fall into those two categories. And I sometimes read great books and I think, oh, if you'd only done this, you'd only do that. And I speak from complete ignorance, but just not ignorance in terms of being a reader. So from a reader's viewpoint is where I'll always talk. This is brilliant. So Brandy, can you tell us a little bit about the book, the inspiration, and what in the world made you decide you have a flourishing career, and you've still got a flourishing career as one of the UAE's foremost radio presenters of a very, you know, what the most popular talk program. Where did you find the courage to actually do this?
The courage or the time?
Both. Courage and time. Courage and time.
Okay, so about the book first. It is commercial women's fiction. And without giving anything away, because this is all information that you can find on the back of the book or online at the moment, it's about three Australian women in their mid to late 30s. And on New Year's Eve, they're having a letting go ceremony. They are letting off Chinese lanterns, you know, the paper bags people mm-hmm. often let them off at weddings. And they've tied New Year's resolutions to all of them, things they want to get rid of and not carry into the new year. And as they watch them fly away into the distance, there's a little flare of light and they think, oh, one of them's caught fire. But they've had a late night and so they think, she'll be right. And they go to bed. And then in the morning, they wake up and find in the local newspaper that there's been a light aircraft crash the same evening. A small Cessna has come down in a really bad accident. And they don't know if they've caused it or not.
Oh.
And that is the causative part. But then we get to meet these three wonderful ladies and get to know them better. Amy irritated me intensely. Which is always a good thing. You know, you shouldn't want to love. And she irritated me because she was very delicate. She'd got mental health issues. And, you know, I shouldn't have felt irritated. So tell me about these wonderful female characters. And there are male characters too. But the three real protagonists of the whole story.
The three real protagonists have been friends since their school days, and it's a small town, so it's the sort of place that you get thrown together with people rather than you necessarily would have picked them. And Amy, as Isabel mentioned there, is the one who's convinced that they probably have caused the accident. Mm. She has had some mental health issues in the past, or at least she hopes that they are in the past, and she's the one who can't just leave the accident alone, sort of in the same way that we hear about murderers going back to the crime scene. She
can't let it go.
No, she's visiting the hospital and she's just,
I just wanted to tell her, look, drop it. This is not helping anyone, and least of all you. But she can't. She becomes obsessed. She becomes an obsessive stalker. Absolutely.
And her other friends are taking, well, Melinda at least, one of the other women, are taking exactly that point of view that Isabel's just voiced. Melinda's very successful. She's got a lot at stake in her life. She's got a company that's about to go public. And she's just like, stop it. Because she knows that perception is as bad as reality, and so she doesn't want to be associated with this accident.
I really liked Melinda. And I think the reason why was because you didn't airbrush her. You didn't make her. There was lots about her to dislike in many ways. You know, she I wouldn't say she was ruthless, but she'd really missed out on sort of the humane side of things. And then she had this bit, I'm not going to go into it, which was almost a sort of a chance conversation, et cetera, et cetera. And that led her down another path, as it were. And she was discovering herself almost as the book. You know how when people start sometimes at the beginning of the book and they're not very likable, but then you get into the book.
You warm to them.
And they change on that journey. They're on a journey themselves. And the third character
is Lou.
Yeah.
Who is, as the Australians would say, angry at the world. And she's, to be honest, not really bothered with it, of course, the accident or not. She's got enough going on in her life. She has a bit of bad news right at the beginning of the book. And she just needs to look over after her own life and not worry about what's happening with this accident.
And again, she went on an amazing journey. She went on an amazing journey. I mean, again, you wanted to take her by the shoulders and just shake her and say, look, you know, this is not helping. All this negativity, all this thrashing out and being angry at everyone, it's not going to benefit you. Just get over it. You know, that's how I felt. I wanted to sort of get her. But I also loved the postmistress.
Oh, Shana.
Yeah, Shana. I mean, she was a sort of a surprising. She was surprising. And I thought, you know, you old busybody, because post offices, postmistress in small towns actually are where a lot of people drop in and they let things out that they shouldn't, or they overhear conversations that are going on. So I really liked her character. I mean, it was a fabulous read, Brandy.
My editor actually is in love with Shana.
Yes.
My oldest, bestest friend used to work for the Gulf News here is called Shana, and she now runs a fruit shop in Melbourne.
Oh.
And I have always referred to her as Shana from the fruit shop. So yes. When I created Shana from the post office, with her permission, by the way, which she's stoked that she considers it to be the star of the book. My editor just kept saying as I was writing, because HarperCollins bought this only a couple of chapters in, I love Shana. Can we have some more of Shana? Love Shana. Can we have more of Shana?
They're absolutely right. As a reader, she really gives you that angle that's so necessary in this kind of book. And again, you don't start by liking her because she's a busybody. But, you know, maybe we need busybodies. Maybe we do. I mean, it's and all the unexpected twists, I did not see them coming.
Yay!
I did not see them coming. But then I don't see Agatha Christie's twists either. And she's only 56 million books later.
I'll take that comparison.
Yes, I think the ability of a good writer to shock and surprise the reader is a rare talent, Brandy.
Oh, I'm speechless, and that doesn't happen very often.
So you're coming as an author in your own right to the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. We're celebrating our 11th year, and it will be amazing to have you there.
I'm really excited. I've moderated at the Litfest, as you know, for years and years. So the idea of sitting sort of on the other sofa.
On the other side.
It's so exciting.
It is. It is. And being part of that author community, because we have, you know, authors maybe from 50 different nationalities coming, and being in the green room and being part of that, it's a unique experience. And it is a unique experience for most of the authors who come from around the world, who go to, you know, hundreds of literary festivals. But what they often do is they go and do their session and they go home, because they're not traveling, you know, from all over the world in most cases. But they say that's one of the things they love, is that they have an opportunity to make friends both with Emirati writers, with writers based here, and writers from around the world. And they love that sense of community that the festival is so good at creating for writers.
Now, would you mind reading something for us so that
we
can get
a
feel for the language and the story?
Okay, I'll just read a couple of paragraphs that are describing the main town, Hensley, because I had great fun creating the town. I took a month's road trip driving around country Victoria, going to lots and lots of different little towns and making my own town in my head out of putting all of their aspects together. The town's called Hensley. Hensley's High Street was the Australia that foreigners dreamt about. The town's main artery was lined both sides with cafes and family-owned fruit shops, proper country pubs and friendly butchers. The local council had decided decades ago that it wouldn't pander to weekend visitors from the city. It had seen what had happened to Kimberley and Fenton, even Meadowcroft, as a result of chasing the tourist dollar. High streets full of fancy kitchen gear and artisan cheese shops, and nowhere a man could get a decent drink. Gentrification had ruined half the towns in the valley, was the considered opinion of the Hensley Council. Membership, 7. Members who weren't related to the mayor, 0. Look at Fenton. Its townspeople had to drive into Hensley to do a proper shop because all the stores were taking the mickey with their pricing and didn't sell anything that a normal person would want to eat anyway. So the council had effectively banned tourism. Since 1993, every application to open a tourism-related business had been turned down on a trifling technicality. Those who tried to take complaints higher found themselves very unpopular in the sort of town where popularity was everything. As a result of Hensley's refusal to gussy itself up, the town had remained an anachronism, a genuine untouched piece of Australiana, and catnip to wealthy tourists looking to stay somewhere real. They flocked in for weekends and public holidays, exclaiming over the unspoilt authenticity of the place as they crowded the narrow footpaths, congratulated themselves on their ability to just blend in with the locals as they stood in the middle of the street taking photos of tin awnings and faded shop signs, stopping traffic and causing more than one minor accident.
That was lovely. Thank you for reading that. Brandy Scott there reading from Not Bad People. Her debut novel will be out in January in Australia and May in the US.
And here...
Yes.
By the time of the festival, for sure, if not slightly before. Not Bad People, a brilliant title. Brilliant title.
It's a story of these three Australian women who they have this impulsive decision to set off these three Chinese lanterns with their New Year's resolutions. And stuff happens. It sets off a series of life-changing events. That moment, was that inspired by something that happened in real life?
Absolutely. Me and a group of girlfriends one year had a letting go ceremony and we lit off Chinese lanterns, not here, elsewhere. And, you know, we'd tied on what we wanted to let go of. And as they flew away, I just had a thought where I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if they hit something? Which, it's the sort of thing you only think if you're either a psychopath or an author, I think.
Yeah.
But, and that was sort of the germ of the idea. And in the next week, I wrote the first chapter. And I didn't do anything more with it because I wasn't sure what would happen in the rest of the story. And then I went off and I did a master's degree and I wrote a completely different book. But I came back to that first chapter about 3 years later and it's almost word for word as it is at the beginning of this book. Very, very, very little of it has changed. But by then, I knew what I wanted in the rest of the story.
Well, there you go. Would-be writers out there. I think we can all take an absolute amount of learning from what Brandy has said and what Brandy has actually done. If you've got a book in you, it's not too late, is it, to enter the Monte Grappa Fiction Prize. And you can do it online. You can find all about it on the EmiratesLitFest.com, which the Monte Grappa Prize has had a huge success rate of those that are either winners or shortlisted get an international publishing contract. And it's because the writing from this part of the world seems to be very creative. And I think a lot of it is to do with the fact that we do live in this wonderful multinational society where you know, it's such an energizing place. You sort of look out. I'm looking out of the studio at the moment and I'm fascinated by those purple trees. What are they? Whatever they are, I'm going to go and
they're
investigate.
They're behind me. I can't see.
No. Whatever they are, they're beautiful. And I'm thinking I'd love some of those in my garden. I mean, it is the kind of place where you can go on a little discovery and you can discover yourself as a writer for sure. And it's been an absolute joy to have Brandy with us.
So I wanted to ask, Isabel used the word courage. So you were presenting on the Business Breakfast years ago and then you decided that you had a book in you and you wanted to do something about that. What advice would you give to anybody who's sitting at home, maybe has an idea that they want to turn into a novel? Like, if you could give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
Sit down and start writing. I mean, and it's not a unique piece of advice in the slightest, but I tend to find that I have an idea, but the best ideas come when I'm actually typing, when I'm actually doing the work, not when I'm just sitting there thinking about the ideas.
And you figure out whether it actually has legs or whether it doesn't, or whether you need to go in a different direction.
Absolutely. I mean, the only way to do it is to do it, unfortunately, like almost everything in life.
Do you have any regrets about the publishing journey that you took?
No, not in the slightest. I mean, these things are never linear. They have sort of curves and bends, but not at all.
Brandy, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Not Bad People, remind us when it's out, where, etc.
It will be out in the UAE the beginning of next year at some point. I hope, hopefully around the same dates as Australia, which is at the end of January. It'll be out in the US in May, which is super exciting. And it's already available for pre-order on Amazon.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.